When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, we're here. It's a super chill podcast. You can tell by the music. We went to Wutai. Everything is fine. Everything's not fine. I think everything's pretty terrible. This is Brooklyn Zed. We are here, as you can tell, at the end of disc one. Adam has reached the thing. And I think we're gonna... I'm prepared to be yelled at a lot today. Adam, thoughts, feelings?
I've just never felt so betrayed in my life. Like, you know, everything is just crashing down. Pia's having a rough day. The whole party's having a rough day. I mean, it was a brutal couple of storylines to play through here back to back after I had just gotten done getting brutally sent in the temple. Like, tough stretch of game here. Really, yeah. Tough stretch of game.
Yeah, it definitely is. I told you right before we started that I felt very bad sending you to Wutai and then the end of the game, but that you can't do Wutai until you have Yuffie. So this was the earliest in your playthrough that you could go there. I saved and sent to Josh this statement. Let's see how late I want to stay up tonight or how frustrated I get when another party member inevitably decides to screw me over. And I said to him, spoilers for the end of disc one. If you have not played the end of disc one, get out now. Goodbye. If by screw you over, you mean dies, it's going to be a bad day.
Yeah. Little did I know, because I mean, good God! I mean, we'll talk through it as punch by punch. But my two reactions here. First and foremost, I know you said we like couldn't have done this earlier because I didn't get Yuffie before. Why did I ever get Yuffie? What is the benefit? What's the upside?
She's good at stealing stuff.
She's good at stealing my stuff! That's not the stuff that I want her to steal!
Oh, my stomach already hurts.
Why did we go through the painful struggle of finding this stupid forest and answering her stupid riddles just so I could get everything stolen from me? I was ridiculous!
Yeah. I was so confused when I got there, and I was like, wait, why can't I do anything?
Yeah, I mean, okay, you know, like I said, we'll get into this, but like, as I'm going through, and I, you know, that fight happens, and it's like, oh man, it's like, oh, okay, whatever, we're just attacking, I barely even notice, and then I like, look, all of it's gone, all of the material's gone, and so I'm like, oh my God. The amount that I worked to finally figure out how to arrange this freaking materia in the way that I wanted it and had it all set up, and now it's all gone. And so my like gut reaction here was like, okay, I need to not save the game, because like, good God, if I like save this here and then just get royally screwed, like I don't know, like I can't come back
or save in a separate file. Because your gut instinct is correct. It's a big struggle if it turns out that you are not ready to beat the final boss here. Because you can't leave.
Yeah, turns out I was not ready to beat the final boss on the first try through. And so, this is it's ridiculous, Ed, because I walked into this, went through the whole process, did the whole freaking rigmarole of this side quest, not even main story, of this side quest, running around town like a freaking idiot all over the place, getting Don Corneo'd everywhere.
Yeah, what is he doing here?
No clue what he's doing here. Absolutely no idea. And then I get to the final boss, and then I die, and I respawn way back out there in the Bronco, right on the edge of the water. And I'm like, there's just no way I'm doing this again, right? Like I have everything back. I have all my material back. But no, of course, I could just walk away.
Right,
I had the escape route was right there, and I just didn't take it.
I'm impressed.
I'm devastated.
Sorry.
I still don't even know what I gained there, but. Yeah, and then to top that off, that was like, you know, I didn't have like a ton of time to play this week, but I got through everything that we talked about. I finished that, and then I'm like, okay, I can power through. This was last night. I was like, I can power through. I can get to the end of disc one. Like, yeah, we'll figure it out. And the whole while we're like going through this forest, we see, you know, whatever. I'm really abbreviating everything here, but like we see the forest, I'm excited. Oh yeah, let's go get Eris, my permanent party member who I've given all of my healing stuff to. She's been in my party literally nonstop since the very start of the game. We went on famously Adam's like best date of 2022 right there with Eris in the gold saucer. And then we get to the end of disc one.
Yeah.
I mean, tragedy has bestruck the entirety of the team here. And how it happens is like almost as tragic as the fact that it does happen.
It's really dark.
It's brutal.
This game is dark.
Yeah. It like did not pull the punches there. I mean, this like came out of absolutely nowhere for me. We had been like talking about, you know, like party members and whatnot. You like mentioned the whole love interest side quest and stuff. And then just like it was nothing, like freaking out of nowhere. She just dies.
Yeah. My teacher taught me well, and I only did to you what Josh did to me, which was constantly be like, oh, so you like Eris a lot, huh? You're keeping in her party most of the time, yeah? Interesting. What are your thoughts about her? You like her a lot? Okay.
Well, I hate it. That is, I mean, good God. Yeah.
Yeah, so we have a lot to unpack here today. Your immediate reactions, which I asked for in the Discord right after the fact, in emoji form, were the side-eye emoji, which I am famous for. Unamused is the Discord name. An angry face, an angry swearing face, a skull and crossbones, and a question mark.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're fairly self-explanatory.
Yeah,
for those you emojis.
Were not happy, yeah. And you were very angry and yes. A little confused.
I was a little confused, mainly because like I've been reviving people left and right in all of these combats, but apparently now we can't do that.
Yeah,
for whatever reason.
Well, because they're being knocked unconscious, they're not dead.
Hmm. But if they all get knocked unconscious, then I am dead and have to go back and restart.
Yeah,
so,
well, that's video games.
Well, okay, but you know, if we're gonna
that it's like it never. I mean, now we're gonna go down like a Westworld conversation of like, is this reality or if you can't remember that it happened, did it ever happen?
I don't know. I don't know, but it did happen. That is all that I know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we have the two major kind of story arcs here to go through.
Yes. So let us, now that we've gotten the major hits, let us go back to simpler, more innocent times. You got Yuffie, and I said, okay, go to Wutai. Sorry. Listen, Josh did the same thing to me. You're just being sent into a world of frustration and pain. There is nothing good. It's just irritating and difficult.
There, like, very legitimately seemed to be no benefit to this entire thing. Like, maybe there were a few items that I picked up that I don't actually realize the worth for. But, like, at the end of the day, this whole Wutai thing was just annoying. And there was no upside.
Yeah. I'm sure there is some upside.
Probably.
I'm gonna look through and see the things you get. You get some good weapons when you're here. And there's some other side quest things you can do in Wutai that I did not have you do. And your material will not be stolen from you again. I can promise you that.
Better not. Oh my god. So I mean, we're walking there. First of all, the freaking trek to Wutai from the Bronco was painful. We get like interrupted half, you know, along the way by these Shinra guards who come out. Okay, whatever, we're fighting. And then just out of nowhere, Yuffie's like, yoink, taken everyone's materia. How do we not have an opportunity to like fight back and like move, you know, like slap her arm away or something? Like, why? She takes it all. It's all gone. I was furious in this moment, Zed, because this was two consecutive, you know, party members totally betraying me out of nowhere. Especially since I have to say, these two party members, Caitiff and Yuffie, I don't even know why they're in the group. I still have no idea why either of them are there.
Yeah, I couldn't. Well, I could tell you why Caitiff is there. I won't. But Yuffie's just along for the ride.
Yeah.
She's just trying to find more materia. As I think I mentioned to you last week, if she had been in your party earlier, you would have heard more comments about, like, when you go to Cosmo Canyon, she's like, this place sucks. There's not even any materia here. and she's selling materia in Costa del Sol. This is like her whole drive. And she explains to you, right, why that is. And we'll get there in the story in a little bit.
Yeah, it seemed like a very thin explanation, all things considered, for what was done.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of sympathy for it at the time either.
Kind of was like, okay, like, I hear you, but, you know.
Healing without magic is really hard. You run out of items really fast.
Yes. Yes, you do. That was my problem with this boss. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we get up there. The trek is kind of ridiculous. And then
there's bridges between mountain peaks,
but you can't take one of the bridges or else you just get led to nowhere. And I was like wandering around everywhere all the while. Like I didn't have healing magic. And so I like had to be burning potions on my random encounters.
Yeah.
Which is like really frustrating. But eventually like we get there and then we start like this massive game of cat and mouse of Yuffie is going from building to building to barrel to dressing room to like the random dog and cat house or something.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
It's like a cat cafe.
She's like, I was disgusted by that place, especially because I mean every time you clicked a button they like meowed so aggressively at you and they like sounded very demented. I really did not want to be in there for very much longer. But like we had to follow her like all the way around town. She like kept going from place to place. I was like getting lost. I will say one of my favorite things that the one thing I really did appreciate about this storyline, surprisingly, was the Turks element of it. They come in later, more for that later part of the storyline here. But even just right at the beginning, I went into that little like cafe or bar or whatever
Turtle's Paradise.
And there was like this potential big like confrontation. They were like ready to fight. Everyone was like getting all geared up and then they were like, wait a minute, I don't work today. Everyone just like sat down and I was like, yeah, that's like exactly the energy that I would like to have. I don't work today. I don't have to deal with this is not my job.
Well, I think it's just indicative that like these people are pretty literally guns for hire. They don't care so much about the cause. They're not fighting for Shinra on moral grounds, whatever those would be. They just want, it's a paycheck. A paycheck is a paycheck. And if they're not working, they're not working. Yeah. They have no actual loyalty to Shinra.
I respect it. Yeah. I mean, if it's not your, that should honestly be a lesson to everyone. If it's like, if it's your day off and you're not working, don't work. Like, you know, just keep the day off. Of course, it'd be cool if I took that advice like some of the time for me.
Yeah, Adam, it would.
But I'm just saying in general, that is really good advice for others to pursue.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Anyway, we continue. I don't know how like detailed you want to get here, because we literally go to like probably 5-6 different places just chasing around Yuffie, figuring out what's going on. We eventually get to this mansion where I forget the dude's name, but he's like sleeping, and we have to like constantly interrupt his sleep.
Lord Gatto.
Lord Gatto. Uh-huh. Who like claims to not know Yuffie, and then Yuffie jumps down and he's immediately like, oh, Yuffie, what are you doing here? And then they, yeah, she like tries to explain, well, I don't know if it's here, I think it's here, where she like explains a little bit about like her history of Materia. It was all very weak sauce, in my opinion. Like this whole storyline is just very weak sauce for me. It like does not work very well. It might be like it's potentially supposed to be character development for Yuffie, but like, who cares? Is where I'm at here. Just like, okay. Who cares? Yuffie has earned herself a one-way ticket to the permanent bench. She will not be in the party ever. Who cares about all of this backstory stuff? Like, just can I have my Materia back? Can we please get out of here?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so the backstory for Yuffie that you don't care about,
not at all,
is that she's collecting this Materia because she's trying to restore glory and honor to Wutai, which used to be this great nation that then went to war. And Shinra, if you're paying enough attention, will blame Wutai for a lot of things that they are actually doing, because it's just useful to have a scapegoat, essentially. And so Wutai lost a lot in this conflict, and now has basically just become a tourist destination, which Yuffie finds pretty disgraceful. And she wants the honor and history of her country to be restored, which I guess somehow Materia is going to do that.
Oh. Yeah. How does my equipped Materia help with that process? Also, what's wrong with being a tourist destination? That means people enjoy coming there and can relax. Like, just,
yeah, but you're someone who likes going to Las Vegas, so I don't know if I want to trust your opinion on these things.
What do you mean? That's like, you know, if you're on vacation, like, enjoy yourself. Like, we have to have, tourists have to go somewhere.
I suppose.
Like, there has to be somewhere where people go. Just as a general rule, you know, just like a generalized place. People have to do something and go somewhere.
They do. I suppose yeah. At the baseline, it is true. People have to do something and go somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, we're blowing minds here on this podcast today.
Coming in with the deep cuts.
I don't know. Like, get over yourself, Yuffie. Like, it's fine. People can come here and relax and have a good time. You have like this big mansion. You got a weird, creepy statue tunnel situation. Like, there's a lot going on here. You got a house filled with demented cats. Like, you know, there's a whole thing going on. Uh-huh. And then, you know, she keeps running. She keeps hiding. We find her in a barrel. She traps her. And then we get
is crazy.
Yeah. Like, what?
It's just like shaking and you have to like hit it a few.
She's like wiggling around and I freaking like front hand this barrel. It's a very weird situation there. And then of perhaps the most shocking revelation in Wutai, as we get in it, well, I should, we're not actually quite there yet, are we? Cause first we get back to the mansion, and then, Yuffie tricks me into caging my own party in a room. Uh-huh. In some kind of weird cave prison room down there that activates by a lever on the other side of the room. And so poor Pia out there, Yuffie's like, pull the lever and you'll be able to get your Materia back. And Barrett and Tifa, you could just go ahead and stand right in the middle of this room. It'll all be fine. And then I pull the lever, boom, they're caged. Yuffie runs away again.
Sorry, bye.
I was livid because we had just gone through the whole rigmarole of trying to catch her and trap her. We finally cornered her. The fact that I am three people walking as one paid off a little bit in the fact that we split up and cornered her. And then she traps us in a cage and then runs away.
Yeah. I can tell you, because I've experimented with this, it doesn't matter which lever you pull, the cage is going to drop. Because I figured, don't listen to her, pull the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And it dropped. But yeah, you can lift it right back up. You can also put it right back down as many times as you'd like.
She doesn't get very far, though, because it is not long after, I believe, that we come upon, I teased this earlier, the perhaps the most shocking thing in Wutai. Who is here but the one and only Don Corneo is back.
Uh-huh.
A character that I did did not anticipate seeing on the screen again. I sort of thought we were done with him.
Would have been nice.
Kind of still feel like maybe that was should have been the way that they went. Maybe we just leave Don Corneo back there. But he has captured now Yuffie, which I will say at that point, I was literally like, okay, as long as like,
just leave her here.
Like, just, let's just get the materia back. And I don't even care anymore at this point. Just like, whatever. But he's also captured, Elena,
uh-huh,
I think, of the Turks. And so he just captures everyone. He loves to capture women.
Yep. I mean,
that's the situation.
Not an exaggeration. That's 100% correct. Yeah,
that is what's happening. it's pretty gross, but you know, I guess that's where the game wanted us to go. So he captured both of them. The one move that I thought like was really funny, just visually, there's like these Shinra guards coming in to try and attack Don Corneo, and he like somehow scoots out of the way, and therefore they have to fight us. Like, they're clearly going for him, and he just moves out of the way. It's like, we're fighting, we're not like blind, like we should be able to move your attacks to who you're trying to fight. Like, why, just because we happen to it just made no sense. But
listen, Don Corneo, he's a very wily dude,
slippery. Yeah, that's for sure.
In a lot of ways
that are not great. Yeah, we both saw that and both hated it. Okay. he's not great, so we fight some Shinra guards, whatever. And then we get back outside and we reconnect with the Turks, who were like, hey, we want Elena back. You want Yuffie back. Let's team up.
Well, I think the vibe is more like, we're not working together.
You're not working together.
But we're just going to not work against each other.
Yes. We both want the same thing, but also,
we are sworn enemies.
You're dead to me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're very coy about where they're going. And then we head up to this weird, like, mountain temple head thing.
Yes.
With tunnels and, like, some... the Turks are just, like, randomly distributed. I had to do this enough times where, like, the path was, like, fairly straightforward. But,
yeah, same.
You know. We got there, and then the scene here that leads up to this fight is very disturbing. Mm-hmm. As Don Corneo was like, which woman shall I choose? As they're both like somehow magically suspended on.
Yeah, this I had a lot of questions about the mechanics of this. This man cannot run up. First of all, cannot get up this mountain. There's no
shot.
Way. Second of all, how are they attached to this statue? How did they get up there? How does he spin them upside down? None of these, the physics of none of this makes sense.
Yeah, no clue. My only guess is that there's some kind of like double Lazy Susan situation.
Of course, like all mountains have.
Yeah, duh. And then, you know, they're like super glued to it or whatever. I don't know. I have no explanation for this. But I had to watch it a lot of times, which is my chief complaint with this whole thing. Because once I died the first and second time, I was like, okay, I have to save my game here in Wutai because I'm just not gonna like do this all six times. Like, there's just no way. Like, if I'm gonna do it, then we just have to do it, and you know, whatever. It's for the podcast. I can suffer through. And so I saved right there. But like, each time you save at that save point, you still have to like go through the whole mountain, and you still have to watch Don Corneo like be a freaking creep. Like, he's still out there and he's like, oh, I choose you. I do. Yuffie's response is pretty fun. It's like, he's like talking and she's just like, gross.
Yeah.
You know, which is good. But, and then we fight just like a giant, what is this, like a giant bird thing?
Yeah, it's called Raps with two P's. This sort of dragony bird creature.
Yeah. This sucked.
Yeah, this fight kicked my butt many, many, many times as well the first time I played. Probably every time I've played, honestly. It's really difficult. You still have no magic. And it can do huge damage to your whole party at once, which is challenging, extremely challenging. And having to watch that gross scene every time is just like adding insult to injury. No. Not cool, man.
It just like kept going. I think I probably, it was like 8 or 9 times that I had to like try and fight this thing. I mean, it's tough. I was like having both Tifa and Barret basically just be giving potions to Pia and each other. Like that was the whole thing. I was like only having one of them attack. And everyone else was just like tossing out potions and Phoenix Downs like some kind of dealer. You know, eventually it worked, I think, with just like how I got lucky with like the limit break timing and stuff like that.
Sometimes that is what it comes down to. And just like the RNG of when it hits you with what attacks. Mm-hmm. Unless you're really good at preparing for these things in advance, which I'm not. And obviously, if you've never played before, you have no way of knowing. It's really tough in fights where you effectively end up behind the eight ball from the start, because as soon as you have to be using one of your characters to heal, you're like always going to be struggling to keep up with the damage output as your own damage output has gone down by a significant amount.
Yeah, and I mean, there's just like no outlasting these creatures too that can do the AoE attacks. So it took a while. This fight sucked, but eventually got the W.
Congratulations!
Yeah,
well done.
Yeah,
the relief, the feeling of relief after you make it through a fight like this that you've done so many times is perhaps still not worth the pain of doing the fight that many times, but it is a unique feeling.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think it was worth all the trouble. but I certainly agree. It is always good to like finally hear that sound of them dying. And then afterwards, the Turks show up. Don Corneo gets like thrown off a cliff or whatever, and
whatever.
We'll be seeing you, Good Don riddance. Corneo. Yeah, hopefully you're dead now. Kind of ridiculous that you weren't before, but whatever.
Yep.
And I think that was it of the Wutai stuff, unless there's something that I'm forgetting.
Yeah, well, now you've saved Yuffie, and she's like, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. She does the classic Kate Sith move, right? Of just like, you know, giving all the stuff, and he's like, okay, time to just keep on going with the adventure.
Yeah, let's pretend none of that ever happened.
I'll be right behind you. The hell you will, Yuffie. Absolutely not. First of all, she doesn't even put the materia back in the same way took it.
I did do Wutai earlier than you did, but I had a similar experience of like, I had specifically before I went there, gotten it all arranged just the way that I wanted it. It was all set. I was like, okay, I think I'm getting this. I understand how pairing works. I'm going to set it all up just right. And then it immediately got taken away. And I think Josh had told me to like save before I get there. So I was going to save when I got like on the continent, but like, as soon as you're there, it's too late.
Yeah. Far too late.
So I had, there was no going back. I was stuck with no materia. And when I got it back and it was all jumbled, I was furious.
Yeah. My question here, and maybe this is why I still have no sympathy for Yuffie. Are you good at materia or not? Why are you just haphazardly throwing
Very
it?
Very fair question.
Like, I thought you were this materia expert here.
I like this image of her sitting there being like, okay, this one went here and this one was there. I'm so, so sorry. And this one went over here and you had that one. And these were just like in a bag somewhere. Does anybody want these? Something that someone told me in the Discord, which I had not known before, that would be helpful to you. If you, in the menu, when you're like equipping somebody's materia, if you go down to arrange and you click on that, you can, a little menu pops up and you can go to exchange and you'll see everybody in their materia slots at once, so that you can move materia between people and not just like take it out and then go to somebody else and put it in, which will make things a little easier and faster in the future.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very frustrating, like going back through and then subsequently rearranging everything, trying to, you know, get everything back together. But
you get in a groove and it's like, yeah, everything's where it's supposed to be. And then you have to remember where all the things were later. It is definitely frustrating. So that's the first act of the of Adam's bad time that we are covering here today. Let's take a quick break for our mental health. Not really, it's for ads, which is the opposite of mental health. But we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about the end of Disc One after these commercials.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay. It's time to finally talk about the end of Disc One. I texted you last night and I was like, and you told me things were going okay. And I said, have you finished Disc One? No, being like 99% sure that you had not, because I felt like I would get some sort of reaction in the moment if you had. So we are going to go on our journey to go get Eris back. And it's not going to go so well.
No, it's going to go very poorly. It's just, I mean, from like start to finish, it's going to go very, very poorly. So first of all, we have to make the ridiculously long trek up to Bone City. Mm-hmm. And I mean, ridiculously long. Why is there any water that is not easily passable with this boat that can travel on water?
Cause it's a plane. I don't know.
Why does the depth of the water have anything to do with our ability to traverse it?
Yeah, like the reverse would make sense, right? Like this water is too shallow.
Sure.
But the idea that water is too deep for the boat.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
It just makes no sense.
I feel like we have similar arguments about this game of like, I can suspend my disbelief that you have materia and you can do magic and you hide these weapons in your body somewhere.
Sure.
But when it comes to like basic physics of like, how did they get up on that statue and why doesn't my boat work in the water? That's stuff that I cannot abide.
It just makes no sense. And it makes no sense because the logic of it is preventing me from taking the easiest path possible to get to this place that's far away.
Yes. You have to like cut through the middle continent and like go around, and it is definitely not intuitive at all.
It's a journey and a half up there. It takes some serious time, but we eventually do get to Bone City.
Yeah.
Interesting name for a city, all things considered.
Well, it is a village. It's a village.
True.
It's definitely not a city. It's guys and a cave and a tent.
Yeah,
basically.
It's just a couple of dudes with shovels.
Get to play this stupid, stupid minigame. I don't think I really like any of the minigames in Final Fantasy VII, if I think about them. But I found this one very frustrating because of how time-consuming it is every time you do it.
How many times did you do it, though?
Well, the first time, now I do it once. But the first time I was like, oh, there's good treasure. I should get that.
Oh.
And I think it's like a weapon for Cid, who I never use. So now I don't care. But I don't know. On the PlayStation 2, all I can tell you is I struggled a lot with getting the little dudes lined up to find the harp.
Oh, okay. Because I remember the last we talked about this, and you were like, if you're struggling with this, just let me know. Like, I can tell you where it is. Because it's always in the same place. And so I got here, I was like ready to experience like a mild level of frustration. Like that, you know, that's the game. Like that's why we're here, right? But it took me, it only took me two tries. I was like, I was mapping out. I had it like on a line. I didn't know exactly where on the line it was, but I like had it on the line. And then the second night or whatever, they found it and put it in the little treasure chest and bingo bango. We're good, good to go.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. I'm glad.
I didn't care enough about the good
week of frustrations that at least was not an additional time consuming element.
I like the mini games, I guess. Like that's that's where I'm at. I think they break up some of the other stuff pretty well.
Okay.
I didn't care about any of the other treasure though. I just like
sure.
I think one of the guys said you need this harp to get it. And so I was like okay.
To wake up the sleeping forest, which is where we're headed next. Yeah. Listen, it's a magical forest.
I guess it's a magical forest that can be opened up by a harp that's buried nearby somehow. I don't know. So
we've gone to the place that Eris was like, okay, I'm going to go do this by myself in the sleeping forest, but don't follow me to the sleeping forest. So here we are in the sleeping forest.
Here we are following her to the sleeping forest. We get like that same shot that we saw earlier of Eris kind of bouncing around through the trees. We get to go through that. And, you know, we just keep plowing forward here through a couple different forest scenes. And then we get to a weird, like, log in the road here for some reason between the forest and where we need to end up. I don't know about the logic for this, but whatever. There was a log there. Some free treasure, which ended up being massive. There was this, I think it's called a water ring.
The water ring,
It was like underneath the log or whatever. And so I love, you know, treasure boxes that just make themselves very well known. So we got the water ring, we moved on, and we kept going.
And have you picked up on at this point that if you're given an accessory with an element that you probably want to equip it because the enemies coming up are probably going to use those kinds of attacks against you?
Yeah. There's a little buzzer that went off there that I was kind of like, yeah, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. You're reaching the point in the game where they're going to give you things like that like drain cold attacks or nullify ice attacks or things like that. And those are game changers when you have them equipped to your party members. Cause all of a sudden, an enemy's like worst attack is healing one of your party members so that you'll basically never go down. And even if you're just cutting the damage in half, that's a big deal. So keeping an eye on when those things appear will give you little hints along the way as to how to prepare for upcoming battles in terms of your materia also.
It turned out to be very useful, which we'll get to here in a second, but we get to, the Forgotten City or Forgotten something.
Forgotten Capital, yeah.
Capital here as we get there. There's the three forks in the road. I think I went and dawdled around a bit looking for random stuff. I think there was some stuff to the left. And we just took a nap on the stuff to the right. There was a couple beds just out in public. So we decided,
we can rest here.
Sleep it. Yeah, it's fine. We got some stuff, and eventually I heard the voice of Eris coming from the center. And so to the center we went.
Yeah. The first time I did this, I just ran straight forward first. I didn't even realize that those side things were like pathways. And so I ended up in the place that you go through to get to Eris, but there was just a fish sitting in the way, like a giant fish blocking the road. So there's like the spiral that goes up. And I think there's materia up there. But you need to go through that like center kind of watery looking path to get to your end goal. But there's just a fish in the way. And I was like, I was so confused. I was like, where am I supposed to be going? Like, not here. But strange roadblock choice. just large fish here in the Forgotten City.
Big fish in the way. I did not experience the fish. I don't know why, but...
Because you did things in the right order.
I didn't even know. Okay, I didn't know there was a right
but
order.
The Forgotten City is really cool looking. Like, this central area is like a big, like, kind of conch shell looking thing. It's very spiny. Lots of coral looking aquatic stuff going on.
Once we actually got down, I thought it was very interesting. It's certainly a lot of like rocks and, you know, rocky areas up top, but I think once we get down into that kind of watery staircase that you're talking about, that like big loop around there, like then things get really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, by really interesting, I mean about to be devastating. As we get down there, we keep hearing, you know, the voice of Eris, we're being called in this way. Meanwhile, you know, I'm thinking, okay, like we're about to go rescue Eris. Like we're nearly there. We're at the place she was talking about. This is great.
Yeah. You had no idea that you were walking into impending doom.
Definitely not. I mean, by impending doom a little bit, like, you know, I assumed, okay, there's going to be a boss battle here, like of some kind, sure. Right? Like, of course, but I did not expect what happened here.
One of your party members, one of your playable characters to die.
Yeah. Did not think that was going to be the case whatsoever.
Yeah, and she's gone. That's it. There is no more. And you can get, it is possible. I haven't done it. It is possible to level her up enough to get her final limit break, which you can unlock by going to a random guy in a house on a peninsula or something. But that would require so much time and effort for like effectively no reason, because you're just going to lose all of that work ultimately.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, so we kept going down. We followed some like weird... stone steps, like American Ninja Warrior style. We had to be like jumping across them. And then we get probably the most like horrifying scene I have experienced here in Final Fantasy VII. Like as we continue going forward, it was like striking how brutal this is, and not only from like what is actually happening, right, as we're approaching Eris, like something is clearly wrong, it is like forcing me, like the player, me, to like act as Pia, like going forward to interact with Eris, and like what I am doing is raising my giant sword and like I'm about to kill her, and it's like very striking as like I am the one pressing the buttons.
Yeah, and you don't have a choice. You have to, it's not even that it's just happening, it's that you have to keep pressing X or whatever your equivalent button is, otherwise nothing is happening.
And it was like terrifying, because there was a point like midway through I was like, okay, wait, I like this is not what I, Adam,
wait, stop, back
want
up
want to be happening.
Yeah, but like, how did we get here?
This is what is happening. And so I like had to stop for a second. I was like, wait, okay, I need, like, get me out of here. I like kept trying to move away. No dice. We like are raising our sword, about to come down on Eris. Baron and Tifa were both like, no, it's like, stop, wait. And like the sword is coming down, and then, you know, like there's the, we get kind of this like cinematic as we like transition there to Sephiroth just jumping out of nowhere, like whatever, I guess he was just watching the whole time. What a jerk. He comes jumping down, takes his giant sword and plunges it through Eris.
Yeah, right in the back.
Brutal. I mean,
and there's no dialogue really. Other than, you know, I think you're right that your other two party members would be like, hey, stop. But for the most part, this is happening like a silent film, with just some music in the background as this like really intense dramatic moment happens, at that you're kind of watching in slow motion and you can't do anything to stop it.
Nothing at all.
I was speechless. And I think we recorded this part very shortly, like almost immediately after I finished, Josh and I hopped on to record. And I just like, I was like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I am in shock. I felt very betrayed by this part of like, oh, you sent me off on this happy little adventure, your favorite video game of all time, la 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 la, knowing all along you're like throwing me on the path to heartbreak that I was not remotely prepared for.
Yeah, like I said, I certainly had no idea that this was coming.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
This is one of the, I have been told, one of the biggest events, like, in video games. Not just in this game, but, like, in general. It was a huge thing, and it is remarkable that I made it to 2021 without being spoiled on it, and that you made it to 2022. Shortly after this, I started seeing Aerith stuff all over Twitter, and I was like, wow, I've just been, like, bouncing around blindly off the walls, like, not even knowing what to look for. I feel that way often about pop culture stuff that I then get drawn into through post-show recaps. I'm like, oh, it was all right in front of me. I just had no clue that that's what people were talking about or that that was anything meaningful. But now you know.
Now I know. I'm not one to get, I'm trying to think of the right words for this. I'm not one to get like emotionally attached to video game characters. And I don't mean that in a way that like as hypothetically someone who does, I'm not like trying to like insult them or throw shade at them. Like, that's just not how I personally connect with the game. I think the story is like really interesting and I can certainly get myself into it, but I've never been like, you know, if a character dies or something like that, I'm not, you know, emotionally invested there. That being said, I like can certainly see how as you're like going through this game, Aerith was in my party the whole time. Yeah. I mean, like start to finish. I've said like on this podcast, she is my number two. Like, she is my staple. I had her for all of the healing, for all the magic I equipped, like everything to her. She was literally, literally in my party the entire time. There were no exceptions to that. And it's, I don't know that I like necessarily felt betrayed by the game or anything like that, because like tragic things can happen for sure. But gosh, it was just like out of nowhere, especially since in my mind, this isn't where I thought the story would be going in terms of Aerith. Not that I didn't think that she might meet a tragic end, like at the very end of the game or something like that. But she was like very much connected to the ancients, right? As we were like going through, there was a bunch of mystery. How powerful is she? What is inside of her? Like, there was this whole thing. And I was certainly under the impression that that was something that we would be exploring throughout the rest of the game. And it still might be.
We still might.
We still certainly could be. But I think that even if we do, it'll be under such different circumstances now that we have lost her, especially in this way, because it's not lost on me that this is like not the first time that my character, that Pia, that Cloud, has been like involved in this, right?
Yeah,
like this wasn't the first this wasn't the first time that I've lost control. We were forced to give over the Black Materia to Sephiroth at the end of that stupid freaking temple, and now here, like, the image of me raising that sword over Aerith about to kill her, even though that's not what ultimately ends up killing her, that's like, that's shocking. It's like, I mean,
seems like something that still needs to be addressed, even if the outcome, even if that particular version of the outcome was averted.
Exactly, because it's like, we had talked in the very, very beginning of the game how my character, how Cloud, how Pia is like only there for a paycheck, right? He was like only, he wasn't really concerned about the morality of what this cause was. He wasn't like big into Avalanche because it was like a righteous cause worth fighting for. It was like, this is where the paycheck is coming from, which, whatever, like live your life. But as we're like getting to this point, I think he has become increasingly more invested in the actual morality of what's happening, especially as he's gotten closer to characters who are far more dramatically impacted than he is, especially Aerith. And so like gosh, that image of like the sword being held up and Eris's life being about to be taken, and then for it ultimately to have been taken by Sephiroth. I mean, it was shocking. It was, I don't know if I have a lot of other words besides that, but it was shocking. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going on with Pia or why he cannot control what is happening all of the time. I mean, we've seen voices, we've seen him black out a lot of times. I mean, we've seen a lot of things happen. I don't know why those things are happening, but it's not great.
Mm-hmm. Alex wants to know if this is bad for the program.
Very bad for the program. yeah, not great for the program. Hate to see it.
And Jared wanted to know, these are folks in the Discord for the uninitiated. Jared in the Discord asked, who are you going to fix this hole in your party with?
Oh, I mean, that's a good question. It's a really good question. Maybe a little soon to be asking for,
give you a couple days to think about it.
Some time to let it sit. Uh-huh. I mean, Tifa will probably become like more permanent than she already really was. Like maybe we keep Barrett in there. It'll probably just be Tifa and Barrett though.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I get swayed to go to Vincent by someone who likes Vincent, but
I think give Vincent some time, try him out for a while. His magic stats are really good, and that is fundamentally what you've lost, just on a statistical level, to speak about it coldly, what you've lost with Eris is she had the highest magic stats. And so Vincent might be a good option to take that place. And you got to see his limit break because it's weird.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's a tough question. It's like a very relevant question because, like I said, Eris was always in the party. And that was certainly going to be my intention going forward. But
yeah,
we'll have to find someone else.
I was in the same place. Josh Wiggler asked, how mad are you at Yuffie? How mad are you at Sephiroth? How mad are you at Zed?
okay.
If you were to rank
if
them.
I were to hypothetically rank those, it would probably be like Yuffie first, Zed second, Sephiroth third. I think that's like how I'm going here.
So you're more mad at me than at Sephiroth, who killed Eris.
Sephiroth is objectively evil, Zed. Sephiroth is very clearly not on my side. I do not expect Sephiroth to be doing me any favors here. Okay, I'm not podcasting with Sephiroth every week. Like, we don't hop on the phone anything like that. Honestly, Zed, the Yuffie Zed 1-2 is nearly interchangeable. If I was like forced to, you know, it's pretty close there, up at the top two.
Josh's other questions. Had you never really heard about Eris dying? It sounds like definitely not.
I had never heard of, like, I'm not going to lie. I had never heard of Final Fantasy before, like, joining PSR.
Yeah.
And so, like, the specifics of one of the games, like, no, definitely not.
Yeah. I had heard of Final Fantasy, but I didn't know. And I'd heard Josh talk about Final Fantasy VII a decent amount, or making references to it in post-show recaps. But I couldn't have told you the name of a single character from the game, let alone anything that happened in it before I played it. So you kept saying to me as we were talking about doing this, I literally know nothing about Final Fantasy. I don't know anything about this game. And I was like, yeah, that's the whole idea. That's the point. That's where I was at. It becomes harder and harder to find those people. We are special rarities in the 21st century with this 25-year-old video game.
We are ripe for the trauma.
Exactly.
We are in a perfect spot to experience.
If this
that
was
the
an episode
time.
Of like Pod Save America or something, ripe for the trauma would be the title of the podcast. It won't be, because that's not what this is. But just want to stop down on that for a second. Do you think that Eris is really dead?
I mean, I guess it depends on your definition of like really dead, right? I don't think I will get to play as Aeris as a playable character as the game goes forward. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that fully answers the question, though, because I think undeniably Aeris will still have some kind of impact on what happens, and whether that be like maybe they'll call it her spirit or her energy or her ancient, you know, voodoo dust or whatever. I don't know. But like, I think Aeris will still be present in the game, but I don't, uh-huh. I don't think I'm ever playing as Aeris again.
Barring the ancient voodoo dust, that is almost exactly the answer I gave to effectively this same question when I was in your shoes. So that's
I would recommend the ancient voodoo dust.
And Josh's final question was, who would you if Sephiroth kill instead of Aeris? And I think there are two easy answers to this question.
First of all, get Cate Sith out of there. I thought we had already gotten rid of Cate Sith, to be honest with you. Like, I thought that it had already happened. He made the sacrifice play. You know what the most important part of the sacrifice play is? To actually sacrifice yourself. Like, I don't understand how we messed that up. And yeah, get Yuffie out of there. And while we're at it, let's get Sid out of there too. Like, I don't understand why I have to lug around all these people all the time. But just taking the space in the Bronco. Maybe that's why we can't go so deep, because if we drown, we're going to be killing too many people. I don't know. Maybe Sid can't swim. Who knows? Yeah, there's plenty of characters that I would be okay with Sephiroth killing. Aeris is not on that list.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy question. Easily several other answers. Like, you know, the bottom third of the power rankings of your party could easily, I would easily dump.
Yeah.
Let's see. One more question from Alex. As a second more serious question, if you were to replay Final Fantasy VII, would you use this knowledge to completely ignore Aeris, or would you still use her given how strong of a healer she is?
Huh. That's a good question. If I replayed the game and I knew that Aeris was going to die, I mean, I feel like my gut would be to not include her in the party.
Interesting.
But it would probably more just be like from that like statistical tactical point of view, right? Like to very try and actively level up other people instead of her. Mm-hmm. And like not get accustomed to her as much.
I play with her as much as I can while I still have her around, because I know that her time is limited. My first time through, anytime I was like buying and selling weapons and I saw an Aerith weapon in my list, I would like get a little twinge in my heart. I was like, oh, she's gone and I can't use this anymore. sad days. But yeah, you know, I think the difference in leveling up is kind of marginal, because they do scale your non-active party members somewhat. They can be a few levels behind, but you know, they're not going to sit at whatever level you leave them at if you're playing with other characters the whole time.
Barret is a little behind now, is what I have realized, just because I hadn't had him in a while. But he'll be back up there at some point, so we'll see.
So there's a whole new world open to explore with this vacancy in your party. How is leveling up limit breaks going for you? Is that happening at all?
What do you...
Based on your face, I think the answer is no.
What do you mean by leveling up limit breaks?
So every character has limit breaks up through level 4. You get 2 limit breaks for each level, except for Vincent, who only has 1 at each level. And after you've done a certain amount of kills or used a limit break a certain amount of times, that will unlock the next one. And as your limit break levels up, you set it in the menu, and you'll get stronger and stronger limit breaks as you go through the game.
I've just for the main party folks, I have 2 for Pia, 2 for Barret, and 1 for Tifa.
Okay. I would take a look. I'm shocked that you only have 1 for Tifa if she's the one who's been in your party the most.
But I think it's, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but it might be level 2 though.
Oh, okay.
Because there's 2 things that 2 I'm like
for each level.
Well, So when I'm when the spinning like slots or whatever are coming in, yeah. I'm trying to get it to stop. There's two of them. Is that
okay? So those are the two level one.
Oh, okay. So I need to. There needs to be more.
I would first look in your menu and see there's a thing that'll say limit. Go in there and see if you've unlocked level two limit breaks for anybody, because it'll show you when you look at the characters, and then you can set the limit break to level two if you've unlocked one. And if not, I can send you some information about how to unlock them, because it's not, they won't just automatically unlock all the time.
Gotcha. Okay.
But especially as you're now moving into the later half of the game, you're definitely going to want stronger limit breaks moving forward.
Sure.
Blade Beam's not going to do it forever. Or that might not even be, you know, whatever it is. Braver, maybe?
Oh, yeah, no. I like
Glim Hazard.
I like the cross stitch more.
Oh,
than
that. Cross slash.
That's that yeah. One's, yeah. I suppose it is cross slash, not cross stitch.
cross stitch. Take this.
Pia pulls out a nice little cross stitch. We didn't even talk about this at the end, though, but probably because it was like so relevant. Honestly, the boss fight at the end here.
Oh, with Genova, yeah.
Yeah, after you know, Aristide Sephiroth drops a blue bead and it turns into a giant water creature. Pia had on the water ring and just didn't take damage. So I let the other two die once I realized what was happening and just kept attacking, and that was that. It was very uneventful.
That's probably a good strategy. Yeah, so this is Genova life. Sephiroth throws another bit of Genova at you to fight, just to add insult to injury again after he's just killed your favorite party member, and now he's like, oh, and also do this fight.
Yeah. I feel like we could have gotten away here without a big fight, but, you know.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
But here it is, our sweet nailing Aerith, full of life, connected to the planet, stabbed in the back, and we put her in the water. She has sort of a burial, not quite at sea, but sinks to a watery grave here at the end of Disc One.
And this might sound very heartless. As like this scene unfolds of this big cut scene of you know, Pia carrying Aerith into the water and dropping her. I know Yuffie's still in the party. Did she like get to snag the materia that was on Aerith before she was gone? Like, did we get that back?
I don't remember. I think so. I can't remember how mean the game is, because there's definitely older games where if you don't de-equip stuff from people, you lose it. Depending on what release, what version of this game is that you're playing on your computer, you might be okay.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of stuff equipped to her.
Oh, yeah.
She was the magic person, so... you know... Farewell, Aerith. You know, thanks for being a good party member here the first half of the game. Sucks that you're dead, but here we are.
Yeah. And this is that's it. So you have finished Disc One. And things are only going to get worse from here in terms of the state of the world. Sephiroth seems to be on his journey. Doing his thing.
Yeah, I will admit, I don't really understand why Sephiroth felt it necessary to kill Aerith here. Just to be a jerk, I guess, is like where I'm at currently. Of just like, okay. Man, I hate this group. So,
do you have any predictions about where we might be headed? What might be happening next? Mike Edwards wants to know if you have any theories about what's going on with Cloud at this time.
About what's going on with Cloud. So we talked about this a little bit, right? Of like, there are clearly parts of this character that I do not get to control, but rather are just like happening. And they seem to all be in the direction of the desires of Sephiroth. Mm-hmm. Like that, they don't, you know, it's not like I'm just randomly blacking out. It always seems to be because there is this thing that Sephiroth either wants or is like, that's what his more ultimate goal is. I don't know that I have like, you know, like a scientific guess here of like, this is exactly what's happening or this is what's wrong. But I know like Eris was part of the ancients, or there was like something inside of her that was more interconnected to a bigger thing. And I guess I like have to wonder, is that what's happening with Pia to some extent? Probably not in the same vein of like the ancients, because that seems to be on the other side. But like in the vein of like this whole black materia / Genova type situation, like, is there some element of it that is more innate in this character that I don't get to control? I don't know. But I think it's probably something like there's some sort of history or tie-in that we were not told that's having some kind of impact there. What that is specifically, no clue. Absolutely no clue. But that's just sort of like my overall guess there. It's very vague, very broad. But that's...
yeah, I think I was pretty at a loss at this point in the game as well. It's confusing. It's honestly going to get more confusing for a while.
Cool.
There's a lot happening. The world is a dark and difficult place.
Yeah.
In the game, not in the game.
Yeah, everything's brutal. You know.
Yeah, there's a lot of tie-ins and relevance to our current world, unfortunately, in this 25-year-old video game.
My only hope is that there are no more side quests that I go on where another party member is going to betray me drastically. That's my only hope. It will probably happen again, but that, you know, that's just my... If there's none of that on Disc 2, then I think I'm happy.
Okay. Okay. I think you'll be all right, unless I'm forgetting something major, but I think you're going to be okay.
We need to have some more party loyalty here, okay? We got to really bring it together.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, maybe your party members that you're never using feel a lack of fidelity.
Well, maybe I should think about why I'm never using them.
This is a chicken or the egg question.
I don't know.
Or it's just the programming of the game. Anyway, so that is where we are leaving things today. Moving forward, you're going to spend some time in this cold place up here in the north. We're going to go through a cave. You're going to get to Icicle Inn. That's the next place that you'll go to. A little ski village.
Okay.
You'll play a mini game that I hate, so you'll probably like it.
Love it. Okay.
And then the more cold places, cold things are happening. We're going to spend some time here on this northern continent. We don't need to get into too much detail about that. You'll play as far as you get in the cold place, and we'll chat about it as we're dealing with the fallout of the dramatic climax of Disc 1, the loss of Eris, and Sephiroth's continuing success, it would seem, as we move forward. So that's where we're at for today. On that somber note, Adam, anything you want to, any additional thoughts or anything you want to plug as we finish up here?
I mean, gosh, you know, everyone who's following along, asking these questions, having fun, enjoying my playthrough here. Thanks for following along, of course. You know, it's fun. I'm certainly enjoying myself here, despite the fact that the story is like very dramatically brutal. But, you know, I think that's just like part of the game, right? So
I think it's a good story. You know, if there were not big ups and downs happening, it would probably be pretty boring. And I've definitely played some games like that where I'm like, okay, and I don't care.
Yeah. You know, very much hoping that this podcast is not boring. I don't think it is. So I think people are enjoying it. So
people are having a good time. I'm having a good time.
Yeah, this is great. The other stuff you can find me, you can check me on Twitter, PianoManAdam1. You can also find me over at One Indescribable Podcast. We are releasing our season 3 retrospective of that show there. We are One CXG Podcast.
I feel like you've been at the end of season 3 for as long as we've been doing this
podcast. We spend a long time. Yeah, we spend a long time between seasons. And then next week, we're going to be talking about School of Rock, which we're incredibly excited about. So you can find us over there on Twitter, One CXG Podcast. And then there's also something else coming up in the works that I cannot announce just yet, but we're getting close. Closer and closer we get to more content happening, because the content never stops. And we'll see what happens with Pia on the road, a Final Fantasy VII.
Pia on the road. yes. It is the end of the month here at Post Show Recaps. This is dropping on July 30th. Waiting until August 1st, it would be a great time to sign up at the start of the month for Post Show Recaps. Get in on the Discord, get on the patron feed with lots of exclusive content. You sign up at that, I think, $15 level, you get commercial-free podcasts, which I love. It's the only way I listen to Post Show Recaps anymore, is all of them are commercial-free, and you get the little swooshes to remind you you're not getting the commercials. It's a beautiful thing, including this podcast. But also, as well, you can catch me still talking about Harry Potter for one or maybe two more weeks on the YA podcast in the patron feed. I am here. I am at twitch.tv/hardrockhope playing Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VII Remake, and Persona 5 Royal over on the Twitch. And I'm Hard Rock Hope on Twitter and anywhere else you can find me on the internet. If you've got thoughts about Final Fantasy VII, things you want me to ask Adam, let me know. That's how you can hit me up. Thank you, everybody who sent in questions, asked for Adam's thoughts on specific things as we got here to this big milestone, really, in the game. It's all, I mean, downhill from here? I don't know. We'll pick up momentum. It may get worse. I don't know which version of downhill we're talking about. But I'm having a good time. I appreciate you all out there for listening. We hope you're having a good time as well. And until next time, enjoy Eris's theme as we play you out here in the Forgotten City. Bye-bye.